Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhakti Vedanta ki, Rangaraja Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jai Go Premanande. I left him at the farm.
Eh?
He's at the farm with the tulip.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
For many years I was bringing him, I was setting up in here, but now I find when I come here, it's quite often very messy.
Oh.
So I don't like to bring him. I like, if it's nice, then I bring him.
Oh.
So then I left him there because now it's more peaceful.
Okay.
He'll come sometime.
Okay,
so I have the open book topics for the this section. So we can pass them out to the devotees if you're doing the open book exams. This is the essays, which has to be done outside the class. Only take it if you go to do the essays. If you're not doing the essays, I don't want to go. No talking in Kali Yuga. Okay? Rest of Kali Yuga, no talking. Okay? So what did we discuss in our class last week?
You know, so we're studying about the Sankirtan Yajna. And we started emphasizing the holiness, unlimited potency.
Yeah.
And we have to do holy chanting and holy.
Yeah.
Very attention.
Good. Any other points?
Why
he comes
as a daughter? So, as soon as the God is daughter. And he was a daughter. Good.
Any other
points? Maybe we saw that chapter is Nishan Ubeda. So, we must not get God. Discussing the.
Any other points?
So the person is going back to the basics with the question mark. He started giving from the Sajjan, the affiliations, means continuation of the Manvantara. He said one of the subject matter, out of 10 subject matter, in Shiva Bhagavan's discussion from the Manvantara.
Good. Anything else?
And Lord Rama and Lord Nasinga is showing the full potency of the one.
Good. Any other points?
We discussed about the Kalaya, different stages when complete annihilation will happen and partial annihilation will happen. And only three material worlds. Like complete day of Brahma and
But Krishna is the best because he showed four kinds of happiness.
Any other points?
Very important problem. Be it start of the universe or now, you will have problems with the material world.
What can we do? Chant to be happy, because you can't be happy here anyway. Anything else?
For devotees, having a son is not very important.
Yeah, we should all have daughters. Anything else?
Srila Prabhupada said that we were all originally with Krishna, we were Krishna conscious, but somehow we came to the city to get.
We were induced.
Yeah.
Any other points? Okay. So, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that this topic which we're going into in the ninth canto is called Ishanukatha, which is one of the 10 subject matters of the Bhagavatam. So Ishanukatha means topics in relationship to Isha, which means Krishna and Krishna's devotees, Ishanu. We will hear about great devotees like Ambarish Maharaj as the canto progresses, and how they especially showed us Vairagya, Vijnana, Bhakti, how they showed us these exemplary qualities. Now there are 13 chapters, which we described last week, 24 chapters in this canto. The first 13 chapters are discussing the descendants of the Solar Dynasty, the Surya Vansh. And then the second group of chapters, next 11 chapters, Chandra Vansh, or the dynasty which is coming from the moon god, which includes Lord Krishna himself. So, there was a description of how all of this begins from the beginning of the universe, the creation. So we're going back before the universe was even created. The description of the creation of the universe. And now we're hearing about the Manvantars, which is another of the Bhagavatam subject matters, how the universe is populated. So we're hearing about the population of the universe, the progenitors, and we're hearing about a particular Manu at this point in time. And how he wanted to have a son, but the... Brahmana, who was doing the jagya for him, he chanted the mantra to have a daughter, so he received a daughter. And now we'll hear about what happens with this personality.
Okay. What
thing
I don't understand, because the era, Shri married the son of Krishna.
Son of
a Buddha.
Yeah.
That was the Sundar. Yeah. Buddha is the son of
Chandra.
Yeah. So I mean, then how come the Solar Dynasty is the Sun Dynasty described before?
Yeah, because the Sun Dynasty and the Moon Dynasty, sometimes they join together.
Okay.
That's all. Sometimes it can happen. Okay, so with the text 18. You are self-controlled, well-balanced in mind, and aware of the absolute truth. And because of austerities and penances, you are completely cleansed of all material contamination. Your words, like those of the demigods, are never baffled. Then how is it possible that your determination has failed? So we'll read the purport. Jogesh Pool.
We have learned from many Vedic scriptures that the prevention of curse. Excuse me, sorry, my eyes are a bit funny.
Someone else can read.
Yeah.
That would have been vulnerable.
We have learned from many Vedic literatures that a benediction or curse given by the demigods never proved false. By performing austerities and penances, by controlling the senses and mind, and by achieving full knowledge of the absolute truth, one is fully cleansed of material contamination. Then one's words and blessings, like those of the demigods, are never a failure.
Any other points?
Yeah.
controlling the senses and coming out of material bondage will have more control over our words or say or anything, let's say. Like Rishi Vakya, which we say in something like, whatever they say will become true because they have practiced the celibacy and they practiced the truth.
Yeah, speech becomes potent. Any other points?
See, the Brahmanas in those days, they used to be so pious and truthful. They used to know all, they had all the knowledge about the Absolute Truth, which is Krishna. And they used to do lots of austerity and penance. And they used to have full control of the senses as well as mind. And they were very truthful. So that's why they are, you know, first or every addiction ever is to go in vain. So the king is surprised that yagna was performed for the son. How did I get the daughter?
Yeah. Anything else?
Most of the patients, I have heard devotees saying that when one spiritual master, when they say something, at that moment they might not believe, but later on there will be a time. So this clearly shows that the words of a pure devotee, a spiritual master, who has full control over his senses, and his words will come true, whatever it may be.
Good. Anything else? Okay.
But actually, it wasn't the benediction from the spiritual master, it was the priest who was doing the yajna. Who did the mistake?
Yeah.
It was not the benediction from the spiritual master.
So that benediction didn't come from the spiritual master. So Prabhupada said that he wanted to create a Brahmanas in Islam. So here we hear about the qualification of the Brahmana, or the priestly class. They are the heads of society in the Varnashram system. So the Brahmanas are the heads, the Kshatriyas are the arms and the chest, the Vaishyas are like the stomach area, the Shudras are like the legs. So without the head, Prabhupada says, you cannot have guidance in society. And Prabhupada points out, this is the problem with modern society, there's no head. There's no guidance. People don't know what is the actual goal of life. So a Brahmana literally means one who understands Brahman, or spirit. And because he understands Brahman, then he can guide us properly as to what is the goal of life. So the Brahmana, he must have certain qualifications to be potent. Now these qualifications are spoken of in detail by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita in the 17th chapter. So we'll read a little bit from the Bhagavad Gita to make us understand what are the actual qualifications that one must have. If the Brahmana has these qualities or these qualifications, he becomes potent. That is why in Kali Yuga the Brahmanas do not have potency. Because they, when they speak, the potency is not as powerful as previously. We understand that previously when the Brahmana could speak, he could light the mantra just by his speech. He would chant the mantra and the fire would ignite. That was his potency. Whereas these days, that potency is not found. So it is, if a Brahmana is potent, then his speech has great effect. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 17, then Krishna goes through different qualities that we must have in order to become potent as Brahmanas. So the stricter that we become, the more potent we will also become. So Prabhupada has pointed out that in ISKCON, Prabhupada confirmed there are four things which are true. He said books are the basis, utility is the principle. What is that?
Purity
is the force, and preaching is the essence. So purity is the force. So this means that if one becomes strict in one's activities, then he becomes very potent. So it is purity that makes the Brahmana potent. If the Brahmana is not strict, if he does not have control, he does not become potent in his consciousness. So then we see that Krishna describes in the Gita different types of qualities that one must have according to the modes of nature. Now he describes, first of all, austerity of the body. Now what is austerity of the body? Krishna said it must be austerity of the body, the mind, and the words. So Prabhupada is pointing this out in this purport. He said that a Brahmana must have self-control, mind control, and control of the body. So the body, the speech, the mind, there must be control. And that is the qualification of a sannyasi. A sannyasi means he carries the tree danda, the staff which has the three rods, and that is telling us that his body, his mind, and his words are all being used in the service of Krishna. Therefore, he is potent. If one does not use the body, mind, and words in the sense of Krishna, then he does not develop potency. So this is the potency of the Brahmana, particularly the sannyasi. The sannyasi is like the topmost Brahmana. He's the guru of the whole Varnashram system. So Krishna says, first of all, we must have control of the body. So what are the austerities? Krishna said there must be tapasya. Tapasya means austerity. Austerity means you must learn to control the body. So how does Krishna say the body must be controlled? Austerity of the body consists of worship of the Supreme Lord. So first of all, he says there must be deity worship. A Brahmana is one who worships the deity. The Brahmana has six qualities, six functions. He accepts charity, he gives charity, right? Then he performs jagya, he teaches jagya. And then?
He learns and teaches.
Yeah, then he studies the Shastra and he teaches the Shastra. Prabhupada says, of the six, charity, jagya, and learning, Prabhupada says that to study and to teach is the most important quality of the Brahmana. The Brahmana must study the Shastra, he must be learned. And when he is learned, then he can instruct others. And then he becomes potent. Otherwise, he does not have potency. So, now first of all, it says here that he must engage in the worship of the deity. So this is one of the principal qualities of the Brahmana. He must worship the deity. He teaches others how to worship the deity. He engages in deity worship and he has a very high standard. So Prabhupada said the Brahmana has two qualities. When you worship the deity, there must be two qualities. One is that you are clean. The other is that you are punctual. If you worship the deity, the offering must be on time. The Mangalaji must be at 4:30. Korma Prabhu, he's the Shiksha Guru for the Melbourne Temple. I remember when I was a young devotee, he used to sit on the bench outside of the deity room. And he would sit there chanting his japa, and he would look at his watch, and he'd watch that the pujari would go into the deity room, and the Mongol sweets, the sweets were offered to the deity before Mongol Aarti, they must be offered at 4:10. So he would be standing up, chanting his japa outside the deity room, and he'd be looking at his watch, you'd see him chanting and looking at his watch, and listening to see if the bell, the pujari began to ring the bell at exactly 4:10. And if it was late, then when the pujari came out, Korma Prabhu would chastise him immediately. Now, why is it late? So, deity worship must be punctual. This is the quality of a Brahmana. Not that you just come whenever you want. No, this is ISKCON. This is not Brahminical. That means ISKCON is not yet on the Brahminical platform. You come whenever you want. Just like we say, there's a program. And whenever we know there's a home program, we say 7:30 because we know everyone comes at 8 o'clock, 8:30. If you say the program is at 2 o'clock, then you know everyone's going to come at 2:30 or 3. That is not Brahminical culture. Where do you read in the Lilamrita where Prabhupada is doing like that? Whereas in the Lilamrita, Prabhupada would come late or... No, Prabhupada was always on time or early. Mm-hmm. Same as Queen Elizabeth, the Queen of England. She's always on time or early. No such thing as being late. That is cultured civilization. So Brahminical life means you must be on time. That is deity worship. And cleanliness. The Brahmanas are known for being pure or clean. Prabhupada said the Brahmana must create a revolution in cleanliness. Prabhupada said ISKCON will create a revolution in cleanliness because people do not understand what is cleanliness these days. It is becoming lost. So Prabhupada is saying that we must become revolutionarily clean. Devotees must be suci, clean. So, this is austerity of the body. Body means you'll be on time. You'll get your body to the place on time. And you'll be clean all the time. So that is austerity in the, of the body, in the mode of goodness. So the Prabhupada said, as Krishna is saying to Gita, austerity of the body is to worship the deity. So therefore, this is how to purify the body, the senses. Then Krishna says, austerity of the body consists of worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, and the spiritual master. So this is also worship, or the way to purify the body. It is tapasya. By worshipping the Brahmanas, means the senior Vaishnavas, the Brahmanas, and the Guru. This is how to purify the body. Now, this is called Vapu Seva. There are two types of Seva. Vani Seva and Vapu Seva. Vani means we serve the instruction. But we also, when we have the opportunity, we also serve the Vapu, or the physical form of the Brahmana or the Guru. Now, the Guru is known as Ashraya Vigraha. What does Ashraya Vigraha mean? The form of shelter. Because we cannot directly approach Krishna at this point in time. You can't even begin to worship the deity until you get permission from the Guru. Right? So, first of all, we must serve the Guru before we become qualified to serve the deity. So he's a Shraya Vigraha. He accepts our worship in order to purify our senses so that gradually we will become qualified to serve Krishna. So this is Shikshaguru, Dikshaguru, Brahmana and Guru, Krishna is saying here. This is austerity of the body. You do Vapu Seva. Vapu Seva means menial service. There's so many menial services you can do for the Guru. What is an example of a menial service you can do for your Guru?
Washing
his clothes. Very good. What else? Cooking. Very good. Clean his plate, yeah, after, yeah. What else? What is it?
Cleaning his room.
Cleaning his room, very good. What else?
Cleaning the toilets.
Cleaning his toilet, yeah. Good. What else?
Whatever he wants to do. Just serving him.
Yeah, attending to his needs. So doing practical service for the Guru, to the Vapu, to the form. Right? This purifies the consciousness. So therefore, Krishna is recommending here in the Gita that you must use your body in the service of the Brahmana and the Vaishnava and the Guru. And in this way, this will purify the body. Actually, Ambarish Maharaj says later in this canto, how do you purify the sense of touch? He says, by massaging the body of the devotees. So that is a way to purify the touch. You massage the devotees' bodies. You do some practical service for the devotee's body. And for the Guru. Massage the Guru's body or do some practical service for his body. And that will qualify us to one day worship the deity of Krishna. Because deity worship means the same thing. We massage the body and we render personal service. That's all Vapu Seva, personal service.
So Krishna says, austerity of the body means worshipping the Supreme Lord, the Brahmana, and the spiritual master. Then he says, and superiors like the father and the mother. You have to worship your father and mother. When Prabhupada, when he initiated Garga Muni Prabhu and Brahmananda Prabhu, then their mother came to the Jagya. And Prabhupada said, they circumambulated Prabhupada, they circumambulated the fire, and then Prabhupada said, now circumambulate your mother. They said that whenever you see, and then they offered their obeisances to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, offer your obeisances to your mother. This is the correct, this is Vedic culture. So then Brahmananda Prabhu, he was telling us that whenever he would go to visit his mother, for a few months after his initiation, whenever he saw his mother, he would knock on the door, she would open the door, and he'd offer his obeisances. And she thought that was very strange. And what would happen if you went home and offered your obeisances to your mother? What would they do?
Bless you.
Yeah, hopefully, but hopefully they like it. If I offered my obeisances to my mother, I don't know, she'd think it's a little strange. But that is the system. So it means at least we should offer respect to the father, to the mother, that is the same. So just like all these children here, very nice devotees, they should offer their obeisances to their mother and to their father. Whenever they see their mother, they should offer obeisances and do whatever they are told. And never talk back and be very submissive. Then they will become first-class devotees. Do the parents approve of what I'm saying? No problem. So Brinda, when you see your mother, you have to offer your obeisances. And you have to bathe your father's feet. And always do what you are told. Okay. This is a Vedic culture. And then, austerity of the body, Krishna says here, is cleanliness. We already spoke on that. One has to be clean. Then Krishna says, austerity of the body is simplicity. What does it mean to be simple? What are examples of simplicity of the body?
Whatever is in your mind, you should speak simple.
No, that, we're talking about the body. What is simplicity of the body?
Satisfying whatever we have.
Yeah, that's actually the mind, but it's good. It's good. It's a similar thing. Yeah, whatever we have, we're satisfied.
Similar to
Ajigar
Vritti, basically whatever comes in our way, it's whatever doesn't.
Yeah, that's also good.
The way of living, like the place where you sleep, or the things you use, or the clothes you wear.
Yeah.
Just have simple, minimum things.
Yeah. Enough to keep body and soul together. Yeah. How many saris do you need? How many saris do you have? Or how many dhotis? Or how many kurtas? So we have to be simple. I have at my home, my ashram, I just have one wardrobe. A double wardrobe, that's it. Not big, like that. And then whatever I can fit in there, that's what I keep. And if I get sometimes it starts getting too much, then okay, that's enough. So it has to be some simplicity, some austerity of the body. You just have your cloth, right? And your dhotis, your kurtas, and some simple cloth that you have. Keep everything simple. Not too many, belongings. But keep it. Brahminical life means simplicity. We should be accumulating less, not more. When you're young, you get married, you have kids, okay, everything expands. That is grihastha ashram. As soon as you get a wife, in Sanskrit, the name for wife is?
So many words.
That's true. Okay. What about woman? What is the word in Sanskrit for
Stree?
Stree. And what does Stree mean?
Expand.
expansion.
Yeah, to expand. As soon as you get a wife, then everything expands. Then there are children, then there are bangles, there are saris, everything expands. So we have to stay simple. That is austerity of the body. Not too many saris, not too many dhotis, not too many kurtas. Everything should be simple. And we know the famous example, Prabhupada would tell the story, that there was the one brahmana, right, and he had one set of kopan, and he thought, let me have two, right, and then the mouse came, so he brought the cat, so then he had to get the cow, and then he had to get the wife, and then he thought, you know, I should have just kept one set of kopan. So as grihasthas, then we have to keep everything simple, like that. Regularly, you go through, just like recently I got married. So I went through all of my things, and whatever I did not need, I just got rid of it. Right? Because I had a new wife entering the home, so she was bringing all of her stuff. So same thing, as soon as she came, I said, whatever we don't need, we get rid of it. So we gave many, many things away. And just gave in charity. Just gave to this one, that one. And keep everything simple. And then the mind can be peaceful. If the house is cluttered, right, it's not good vastu. It means the mind will also be cluttered, disturbed. Right? If the house is simple, the ashram is simple, the mind can be peaceful. So you do that. Right? This weekend, you take everything in your house and put it on your front lawn. And only bring back inside what you need. And the rest of it you distribute in charity. Yes, sir?
Can you mention that the Brahma Shakti is here, or don't mention the rest of it?
Okay. Does she listen to lectures? No, I'm going to tell her. I'm going to tell her that you told me to say this. But the point is, we have to be simple. That is Brahminical life. Brahminical life means simplicity. Otherwise, you cannot make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami says this. Achahara priyashascha. Over-accumulation. Over-endeavoring. You can't make advancement in spiritual life. So you have to keep everything simplistic, then you will advance. So Krishna says, celibacy. Brahminical life, austerity of the body means celibacy. It means we will not engage in sexual activity with the wife, except for procreation of children. So that is a big austerity in Kali Yuga. Because most people cannot come to the Hare Krishna movement because they cannot practice this austerity of the body. They cannot live without sex life. So therefore, at least sex life should be kept within marriage. But if you want to make serious advancement in Krishna consciousness, then you have to control that urge. Vacha vega, manasa krodha vega, jiva vega, udara pasta vega. Etan vega, yo vishaheta jira, sabama bhimam, kutibhimsa shisha. So if you want to make a serious advancement in Krishna consciousness, then you have to control your sex desire. So, it means there must be strictness in the Grihastha Ashram. That is austerity of the body. Then you can advance in Krishna consciousness. Then Krishna says, non-violence. This is austerity of the body. So we practice a vegetarian diet. We only eat Krishna Prasad. Only prasadam, nothing else. No chocolate bars, no chips, no soft drinks, everything has to be very... So this is austerity of the body. So Prabhupada explains that austerity of the body means you control what you eat. Once again, this is vacha vega, manasa krodha, jiva. Jiva means the tongue. If you want to make advancement, as a brahmana, you have to control your tongue. What you say, right, and what you eat. Right? And this is very much what brahminical life is based upon. Simplicity. And I was discussing with my wife the last few days, if you want to eat simply, you really have to live by yourself and cook for yourself. Because as soon as you come to social gatherings, everyone becomes social, the mood changes, and then everyone starts eating opulently, and then it just like that. You know what it's like when you come to the temple, right? And everyone starts talking like that, and then everyone eats more, and we eat so many different things. But actually, a Brahmana likes to eat simply. Actually, I prefer it at my ashram, I just eat khichdi, yeah, most of the time. And then, you know, some other thing, but simple, prasad. But then as soon as we get with the other devotees for lunch or dinner, then, you know, everything becomes opulent and everyone starts cooking pizza and like that. And then, but it changes the consciousness. Right? You can directly see the food that we eat affects our consciousness. Krishna says, food in the mode of goodness in this chapter, goodness, passion and ignorance. Right? What mode of nature is pizza eat? Huh? It is in Rajagun. Huh? It is Rajagun Prasad. So how do you expect everyone to eat like that and not be in Rajagun? Or, what country on the earth is especially known for Rajagun, mode of passion?
America.
Hmm? America? America, yeah. I was thinking of another one.
India.
Italy, very good. I was thinking of another one. What was that?
Australia.
Australia, yeah, that's true. My bad. I was thinking of India.
Spain.
Yeah, Spain also. Spain's very passionate. Yeah. Very passionate. But India is very passionate. I've been there a few times. I've lived there for about 2 or 3 years of my life so far in India. And it's very passionate. Everything's loud. Everything's fast. Everyone's very passionate. Why? Because the food is passionate. They don't eat Ayurvedically. It's not Ayurveda. Right? Everything is too hot. Too spicy, right? And everyone is eating like that all the time, then they're all worked up. It's Rajagun. It's like you see sometimes the devotees cook. Yeah, and they cook like hot, spicy. Actually, Krishna doesn't eat like that. If you go to Jagannath Puri and you take the Mahaprasada Jagannath, you never taste hot, spicy. And those recipes, which Jagannath eats, the prasad, the same recipes they've been cooking for thousands of years. So if Jagannath wanted hot prasad, if Krishna, this is God, if you want hot prasad, why doesn't like that? But it's a concoction. Because Krishna says in this chapter, if you go back a few verses, Krishna says, food which is too hot, too spicy, too salty, too sweet, all these things, this is Rajagun, this is mode of passion. And it makes you passionate. And you see that even some of the Indian devotees, not just Indian, just some of the devotees are very passionate because their food is too passionate. So we should learn to eat very simply.
Some people eat a lot of green chili. Strong green chili.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, green chili and red chili. A little bit of chili is okay, but not too much. If you go to Mayapur and then you go to the ashram of Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj and see the type of prasad they cook there, very tasty but not passionate. Very, very tasty but not like... Oh, I went to... the water farm, the devotees in India in Chalpani. I don't know if you've been to that farm, but they cooked the prasad there. Now the prasad was like first class. Now I was in India, but it was sattvic food. It wasn't too hot, too spicy like that. It was just very delicious, good food, good prasad. And when you eat it, you become peaceful. That's the point. When you take prasad, you should be peaceful. If you eat too rich, too spicy, all these things, you become agitated. And it's very hard, and then you wonder why you're having trouble controlling your mind. They say, oh, I'm chanting, but you're eating the wrong way. How can you control your mind?
But how is pizza in the mode of passion? It has got only the flour and the vegetables and the cheese, which is made from the cow's milk.
Yeah, but cheese is rajasic food.
But it's made from the cow's milk.
I know it is made from the cow's milk. But in India, you don't have hard cheese. You only have paneer. Never in India do you get the hard cheese. You get the paneer. So the hard cheese is mode of passion food. It's not mode of goodness food.
Hard cheese?
Yeah, like what we call cheese in Australia.
Oh, okay.
So paneer, that is mode of goodness.
So how do you make the hard cheese?
They let it sit for a period of time, and it, like some bacteria is involved, and it's a different process. Yeah, it's not like paneer. You can make it like this, that it's made. But cheese, you have to. It takes time to make it, and it's not. It's not a supplement. And tomato, because tomato is not in Ayurveda, tomato is also not supplement.
Huh? And then.
Tomato is also like that, it's a rajasic food. It's very acidic. Yeah. Like in Ayurveda, you don't take potato, tomato, eggplant. These things are called nightshade. They're different type of food. You see many of the sannyasis, Kanamba, Kanamaraj, many they don't take tomato and these things. So.
Mm-hmm. And normally that the pizza is basically the base, which is made with yeast, and that yeast is fermented. Fermenting is basically sort of letting it rot.
And it's also white flour a lot of the time. And white flour is not good for you. Process. So it's all rajasic. It's not really healthy either. I mean, I had pizza not last week, but the week before. I went to one devotee's house. They made pizza. So I had some pizza, but not like every day or every second day or twice a week. It's like, you know, once in a while, that's okay. We can eat these things. Prabhupada said once a week, we can have feast. But you see, Prabhupada every day, rice, dal, sabji, chapati, that's the diet. Then once a week, okay, you have nice feast, and then the rest of the time, control your senses.
Tamarind is very good for health.
Too much tamarind is not good.
They say the tomato is better than tamarind. So.
No, it's not better. Even tomato is okay. You can eat tomato. Mm. Actually, Prabhupada would eat tomato every day.
What do you do for the salt side? Like, we need everything. Like, for example, we need to make the whole the dal and sambar and everything with salt. We need the salt.
Salt.
We need sour.
Yeah, so throw in some tamarind. Tamarind's okay. Tamarind. A little bit.
Yeah. Tamarind, we have to soak it
in. So, tamarind's good for you. That's a very good.
Lemon. Lemon.
Lemon's very good. Yeah. Lemon's the best. Lemon's the best.
But something
you can use some tomato. Not like you don't have to use any tomato. Yeah, yeah. But in general, it's considered, if you eat a lot of tomato, it's not really good for your system. So, Prabhupada ate it every day. Interesting. But little bits, not like it. Okay. Then, austerity of speech. So we had austerity of body, now Krishna will speak of austerity of speech. So what is austerity of speech? Krishna says, austerity of speech consists of speaking words that are truthful. This is one of the qualities of a Brahmana. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Samo, Damas, Tapas, Socham, Shantiya. Right? Krishna says that the Brahmana is honest. Right? Hands up if you have not told a lie today. One person did not lie today, two, three, four, five. Okay, most of you did not lie today. Hands up, you did not tell a lie for 1 week. One, two, all the kids, they're lying. So. Hands up, you did not tell a lie for 1 month.
No way.
One, okay, one. Hands up, you did tell a lie for 1 year. So how can you have austerity of speech? Krishna says you should not lie. Always tell the truth. Because then your speech becomes powerful. Then you have Brahminical Tejas. And especially if you speak about the Param Satyam, the absolute truth. Absolute truth means about Krishna. Remember when we read last year, there was at the end of one of the chapters, it described in the 8th canto, then there are certain circumstances when we can lie. You remember that particular shloka? And said, if you're just joking around, you know, you can tell a lie just in joking. It means like, you know, you're with some friends. You know, like one time I remember we were in here, and one of my devotees, they were looking for someone. And I said, oh, they're just out there. So they went out there. They were looking okay. I said, they're not there. But, you know, I was lying. I knew they were not there. It's just some joke. So Bhagavatam says, that's okay. That's life. Yeah. But it means any lie that we tell, which will cause harm to ourselves or to other people, then that is sinful. So you must control your speech, so that people will have faith in you. So this is austerity of speech. Then Krishna says, words that are truthful, which are pleasing. So you have to speak very pleasing. Speak very nicely to your sister, to your brother. You have to speak very nicely, very pleasing speech. This is speech in the mode of goodness. This is how Brahminical speaks. It is truthful, but it is also pleasing. It says Lord Nityananda, whenever he speaks, is very pleasing to everyone. So we need to learn this. Prabhupada points out that in the purport that the guru, he may not speak pleasantly. The senior devotee, he may speak very cuttingly towards us. Actually, the word sadhu, Prabhupada explains, means one who cuts. So the sadhu, or the saintly person, he will speak very choppingly to you. But that is for our benefit. So the senior person, he may speak in a way which may not be so pleasing. Just like last week, some senior devotees, they spoke to me in a very, they chastised me. They just corrected me for something they saw, some defect. So there's some chastisement. But now, after one, it was painful. You know, we don't like it when we get some chastisement or some correction. But we know it's for our good. So it took me some time, but now after 1 minute, now I'm feeling the benefit. I feel my consciousness has been purified. So when the devotee speaks to us, the senior people speak to us very cuttingly, it is for our benefit. So it may not be pleasing, but it is beneficial. So Krishna says we should be truthful, we should be pleasing in general. Okay. And then he says beneficial. So when we speak, it should be for someone's benefit. These days people just say anything. They can just speak anything and it's not for the benefit of anyone. So many times when we speak to the non-devotees, there's no benefit in the conversation. So many times the non-devotees, when they're speaking to us, but there's no, we're not getting anything from the conversation. So we reject that kind of speech. Then, which is not agitating to others. So Krishna says, when we speak, we should not agitate someone else. But in Kali Yuga, people like to agitate each other when they speak. And who is the best at agitating the other person? Who agitates you the most? Usually it's the husband or the wife. They know exactly how to disturb your mind. It's called Grihastha Dharma. If you're an expert Grihastha, you have to know how to disturb the wife or the husband's mind. Speak in such a way that they become disturbed. This is what takes place. But actually, if we become cultured in even in husband and wife, Prabhupada says, or actually Chanakya says, if there was no argument between husband and wife, the house becomes like Vaikuntha. Right? It should be very peaceful. So we should speak in such a way that we should not agitate the other person. We should see the husband and wife as a devotee, as a Vaishnava, a Vaishnavi. So Krishna says it has to be truthful,
pleasing,
beneficial, non-agitating. And then the final austerity of speech, Krishna says, should be? It should be about the Vedic literatures. This is austerity of speech. Krishna says pleasing, beneficial, non-agitating, truthful. And he says you must recite the Vedas. This is how to purify your speech. You speak about the Bhagavad Gita. Just like at home, my wife and I at our ashram, we sit down in the evening quite often and we read the Chaitanya Bhagavat or some Shastra like that. Or before my daughter goes to bed, then I read to her Bhagavatam, children's Bhagavatam. Like that. So this purifies the consciousness. Like that. So that is reciting the Vedic literature. That purifies our consciousness. Any points?
But this is Kali Yuga.
Very good. This is Kali Yuga. I did not know that. Very good. Excellent point. This is Kali Yuga. Okay.
You have to do chanting.
Yeah, that's true. Chanting is also.
There is nothing else can happen.
Yeah. Austerity of the speech means chanting. That's true.
Yes.
You are our Guru Ma. Guru Ma Ki? So Krishna says austerity of body, austerity of speech, and then he says austerity of
mind.
Are you ready for this? Okay. Austerity of the mind. Krishna says satisfaction. That means if your mind is satisfied, then that is austerity of the mind. What is the nature of our mind? Yeah, like a monkey. Means our mind is not satisfied. But actually, austerity of the mind means just to be satisfied with whatever Krishna gives us. If Krishna gives us a lot, we're satisfied. If Krishna does not give us so much, we're satisfied. But our mind is always disturbed. I did not get this, I did not get that, I want this, I want that. I want more. I want this, I want that, I won't be happy unless I get all these things. That's our mind. But Krishna says, no, actually, satisfaction of the mind is austerity in the mode of goodness. Just to be satisfied with whatever Krishna gives. Then, simplicity, once again, Krishna says, this is austerity of the mind. Just to be simple, not to want too much. Enough to keep the body and soul together. Then Krishna says, gravity. You must be grave. That means one of the 26 qualities of the devotee is Gambhira. Gambhira means?
Deep.
Deep. Yeah, deep. Grave. Deep.
Good.
Yeah. So, if you go to the first canto of the Bhagavatam, when Bhishma is about to leave the world, he's speaking to Yudhishthira, and he says, if you want to develop gravity, then what must you do? How is gravity developed? According to Bhishma, one of the 12 Mahajans. He said it comes from silence. People are not grave because they talk too much. If you talk too much, you cannot control your mind. And you see some people who can't control their mind, they just talk constantly. Especially Matajis. It's like Mataji Dharma. Talking. Yeah. They've done scientific studies. Which one? Yeah. Very good. They've done scientific studies that women need to speak something like 4 times as much as men in a day. And a certain amount of words they counted. Women have to speak a day just to keep their minds peaceful. And if they don't speak that much, so what do you do if you're a man? You have to let them speak. You just sit there and you just listen. And you pretend like you're extremely interested. Right? And then the marriage is peaceful. Because they just need to talk. Right? Not that they're actually talking about anything which is necessarily significant to the universe, but they just need to talk. So therefore, now we just need to listen, just accept that, right? Validate the feeling. Right? But Krishna says actually in the Bhagavad Gita that one becomes grave through silence. So gravity is an austerity of the mind. So maybe just talk half as much. Because you can't stop talking. But just don't talk unnecessarily.
Especially
Krishna. Yeah, oh, very good. Yeah, talk about Krishna. That's the best. Then you can talk as much as you want if you talk about Krishna. Or on holy days like Ekadashi, like yesterday was Ekadashi. So chant more, read more, and speak less. Right? And then you'll see you'll become purified. The mind becomes peaceful. So, satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control. Control of the mind and the senses. This is an austerity of the mind. To have control of the mind, control of the senses. To control the senses, but also to control internally what you think about. That is austerity of the mind. And purification of one's existence. To only think pure thoughts connected to Krishna. That is austerity of the mind. Only one person knows what's going on in your mind. That is you. If we saw what was actually going on in each other's minds, or everyone saw what was going on in our mind, we'd be extremely embarrassed.
Imagine if we connected our mind up now to Sri Ram's computer, and then we showed everyone on the screen what we're thinking about. Right, everyone would be very embarrassed. Right, imagine if you're chanting your japa in the temple room. Right, and someone connected your mind to a screen above Prabhupada. Everyone could see what was going on in there while you're chanting your japa. Be very embarrassing. So therefore, purification of the mind means purification of existence. That is austerity of the mind. This is best done through chanting properly. Okay, so now Krishna has given us these three types of austerity. So a brahmana is one who has control of the mind, the body, and the senses. And that's when his jagya becomes powerful. So we see that this particular brahmana, the wife of the Manu, she has asked, please give me a daughter. So he's chanted the mantras to receive the daughter. The daughter has come. But now the Manu wants a son. So now we'll see what takes place in there.
One thing, purification of existence, does it mean the purification of the tongue, isn't it?
Yeah, that's part of it.
Speech. Yeah.
Purification of existence means purification of the mind. This is what Krishna is speaking
about. The mind.
Yeah. Okay.
So speak less.
Yeah, please speak less.
Okay.
Do some austerity.
I just wanted to differentiate a brahmana and a jnani. Can you just explain what's the difference between them?
Well, these are just two terms. And so, technically speaking, jnani means one who has jnana, knowledge. So a brahmana is a jnani. Because jnani means knowledge. One who has knowledge is called a jnani. A brahmana means one who understands his spirit. Brahmana means one who understands his spirit. So one who has knowledge understands his spirit. So technically, a brahmana is a jnani. Krishna says, samo dhammas tapas salcham. And then he says, jnana vijnana. So jnana is the quality of a brahmana. He is knowledgeable.
So brahmana is a jnani, but a jnani is not a brahmana.
Yeah, jnani can be a brahmana. Okay, but it doesn't mean that he's a devotee. That's the point.
Mm.
You can be a brahmana but not a devotee, or you can be a jnani but not a devotee. We're not concerned with being brahmana so much, but we're more concerned with being a devotee, Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is automatically a jnani and a brahmana. That's the point. You understand? Okay. The most powerful great-grandfather, Vasishtha, after hearing three words of Manu, understood the discrepancy on the part of the priest. Thus he spoke as follows to the son of the sun god. This discrepancy is the objective. This discrepancy in the objective is due to your priest's deviation from the original purpose. However, by my own prowess, I shall give you a good son. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, after the most famous and powerful Vasishtha made this decision, he offered prayers to the Supreme Person, Vishnu, to transform Ila into a male. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, being pleased with Vasishtha, gave him the benediction he desired. Thus Ila was transformed into a very fine male named Sudumna. After O King Parikshit, the hero Sudumna, accompanied by a few ministers and associates and riding on a horse, brought from Sindhu Pradesh, once went into the forest to hunt. He wore armor and was decorated with bows and arrows, and he was very beautiful. While following the animals and killing them, he reached the northern part of the forest. There in the north, at the bottom of Mount Meru, is a forest known as Sukumara, where Lord Shiva always enjoys with Uma. Sujumna entered that forest. O King Parikshit, as soon as Sujumna, who was expert in subduing enemies, entered the forest, he saw himself transformed into a female and his horse transformed into a man. When his followers also saw their identities transformed, and their sex reversed, they were all very morose and just looked at one another. Maharaj Pariksit said, "O most powerful Brahmana, why was this place so empowered? And who made it so powerful? Kindly answer this question, for I am very eager to hear about this." So who is so powerful that he can make a forest, that when you walk into the forest, you turn into a woman, or a woman turns into a man? Lord Shiva. Only Shiva and above can do things like this. Shiva and Krishna and Vishnu, very, very, very powerful entities can do like this. Lord Shiva is Mahadeva, most powerful of the gods. Sukadeva Goswami answered, "Great saintly persons who strictly observed the spiritual rules and regulations and whose own effulgence dissipated all the darkness of all directions once came to see Lord Shiva in that forest. When the goddess Ambika saw the great saintly person, she was very much ashamed because at that time she was naked. She immediately got up from the lap of her husband and tried to cover her breast. Seeing Lord Shiva and Parvati engaged in sexual affairs, all the great saintly persons immediately desisted from going further and departed for the ashram of Nara Narayana. Thereupon, just to please his wife, Lord Shiva said, 'Any male entering this place shall immediately become a female.' Since that time, no male had entered that forest. But now King Sujumna, having been transformed into a female, began to walk with his associates from one forest to another." So Prabhupada says in the purport that it is not important whether we are male or female. It is important that we are the soul. Yeah, we are Krishna's eternal servant. So whether you're male or female is not important. Prabhupada says in his books, the male form of life is most favorable for self-realization. Right? But Prabhupada also says that the female form is naturally soft and is much easier to develop bhakti. So there are advantages in both ways. But the main point is whether you're male or female, just serve Krishna, you can go to Krishna. As Krishna says in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So Jumna had been transformed into the best of beautiful women who excite sexual desire and were surrounded by other women. Upon seeing this beautiful woman loitering near his ashram, Buddha, the son of the moon, immediately desired to enjoy her. The beautiful woman also desired to accept Buddha, the son of the king of the moon, as her husband. Thus Buddha begot in her womb a son named Pururava. I heard from reliable sources that King Sujumna, the son of Manu, having thus achieved femininity, remembered his familial spiritual master, Vasishtha. Upon seeing Sujumna's deplorable condition, Vasishtha was very much aggrieved. Desiring for Sujumna to regain his maleness, Vasishtha again began to worship Lord Shankara, Shiva. O King Pariksit, Lord Shiva was pleased with Vasishtha. Therefore, to satisfy him and to keep his own word to Parvati, Lord Shiva said to that saintly person, "Your disciple, Sujumna, may remain a male for 1 month and a female for the next. In this way he may rule the world as he likes." Thus being favored by the spiritual master according to the words of Lord Shiva, Sujumna regained his desired maleness every alternate month and in this way ruled the kingdom, although the citizens were not satisfied with this. O King, Sujumna had 3 very pious sons named Utkal, Gaya and Vimala, who became the kings of the Dakshina Pata. Thereafter, when the time was ripe, when Sujumna, the king of the world, was sufficiently old, he delivered the entire kingdom to his son, Pururava, and entered the forest. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So tomorrow night we'll begin chapter 2 and continue the pastime of
How the son became so old with father and father?
What was it?
The father was not so old, Manu. And his son got so old that he retired.
Yeah, when his son grew up, then he retired, he went to the forest.
But what about his father? Vajrat Muni. It was not old. We are not retired. I think he got sons after.
Yeah, some of these personalities, they don't age. They're just very, they stay young. Because they're very powerful. They don't get young. They don't get old. Okay. See you tomorrow.